Yeah, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, as we step further and further into this realm of darkness here, we realize, Lord, that the light of the gospel shines very brightly in a very dark place. We realize, Lord, that people will come against us, but they're coming against you, not us. Let us remember, Lord, if they hate us, they hated you first. I pray for Tony, Lord. Give him grace and wisdom, Lord, and give him a boldness to proclaim the truth into this dark place. I pray, Lord, let the glorious light of the gospel ring out of this place. Let men and women be stopped in their tracks, Lord, crushed under the weight of their own sin, and let them come to the realization that Christ is King. I pray, Lord, let your Son's name be lifted up in this town. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, folks. My name is Tony Miano. I'm from Faith Community Church in the Santa Clarita Valley in Southern California, here with about a dozen of my friends from different churches, from different states around the United States, and we're here to bring to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. That's literally what the gospel means. And there is no better news than salvation by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The only hope of salvation, the only hope of forgiveness for your sin, is salvation through Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And there is only one Jesus Christ. Although many religions and many people try to set up Jesus as the suit their religions, but there is only one true Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He was with the Father in creation, and all things were created by Him and through Him and for Him, and nothing has ever been made that was not made by Jesus Christ. He is not the spirit brother of Lucifer, as the Mormons would have you believe. He is not the incarnation of Michael the Archangel, as the Jehovah's Witnesses would have you believe. He is not a prophet second to Muhammad, as the Muslims would have you believe. He is not a savior still on the cross who has to sacrifice every day in a superstitious ritual known as the Mass. No, that is not the real Jesus. He is not the Jesus of Oprah Winfrey and Hollywood's elite that would tell you that he's one of many ways to heaven. He is not a blonde-haired, blue-eyed surfer who is effeminate. No, he is Jesus Christ. He is God Almighty. He is the Creator. And He will be your judge or your Savior. And again, there is no other way to heaven but through faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to continue by reading out of 2 Peter chapter 2. God's Word tells us this. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment, if He did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when He brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, He condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if He rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. For as that righteous man lived among them day and day, day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrong as the wage for their wrongdoing. Now, this is my first time to New Orleans, and it is an amazing place, but it is an extremely sad place. Considering what happened to this city just a few short years ago, how this city was all but destroyed, you would think that people would come to their senses. You would think that people would have their eyes opened to the reality of life and death. You would think that their eyes would be opened to the fact that there are powers far greater than themselves, far greater than their own. But no, New Orleans has come back to life, but unfortunately it's a life every bit as wicked as it was before it was destroyed in a hurricane. No, it's true, young man, it's true. All you have to do is look around to see that the city is as debaucherous and vile as it's ever been. That people drink iniquity like water. That people are lusting after the flesh and the pride of a sinful life. It's as if your hearts are hardened. It's as if you expect God to heal this city again. 666, do you know what that means, young man? You have any idea what that means? See, the foolish will say that there is no God. Only the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A young man would run by and say 666, being completely ignorant to what it means. And that's what the Word of God said in the passage I just talked about. That people will blaspheme in their ignorance things they do not know. And we've heard so many people blaspheme God today in this city. So many people blaspheming God because they are utterly ignorant of the things they do not know. But God has overlooked the days of ignorance, my friends. He has overlooked those days of ignorance, and now He commands all people everywhere to repent. Yes, that's right, sir. He calls you to repent. He calls you to repent. You will not be laughing. You will not be mocking the day you die and stand before God to face His holy wrath and judgment. My friends, you must come to your senses while God has given you time. There is a day written from eternity past, a day assigned to you in which you will stand before Almighty God to give an account for your life. Everything you have ever done, every word, careless word you've ever uttered, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever thought in the darkest recesses of your mind, everything that you will do to dishonor yourself, to dishonor your parents, and to dishonor Christ this weekend will be seen, is seen before God, and you will give an account for it. And my friends, you will have nothing to argue with God about. You will have nothing to prove. Do you mean that, young man, or are you just blaspheming God like a wicked person? Young man, you need to repent of your wickedness. Mocking words of praise the Lord. Mocking words of hallelujah. My friends, God will not be mocked. Sir, put your hands down, sir. You're looking foolish right now. God will not be mocked, my friends. You will give an account for every careless word you have uttered. You will give an account for every sinful thought you have ever had. You will give an account for everything you have done contrary to the word and the will of God. He will judge you according to the perfect moral standard of His law, my friends. He will not judge you based on your own perceived goodness. He will not judge you according to your religious beliefs. He will not judge you based on what others see in you. He will judge you according to His law. And His first command is this, that you will have no other gods but the one true God. You will not worship any other god but the God who created you. And there is only one God, my friends. There are no athletic gods. There are no Mormon gods. There are no Muslim gods. There are no Jehovah's Witness gods. There are no Catholic gods. There is only one true God, the Creator, who has given you life. The very air you breathe, every time you take a breath, you are stealing from God if you are not worshiping Him. And if you worship any god other than the one true God, He will see you as a lawbreaker and you will give an account. The second commandment is like it. You will not make for yourself any graven images, nor will you bow down to worship them. And this city is full of idolatry every day, but certainly this weekend, as men and women spend thousands of dollars to worship young men who are throwing around a pigskin for millions of dollars. You will buy shirts, you will buy jackets, you will buy helmets, you will buy masks, you will buy all of those things and give your money to the gods that you worship. Now maybe you won't carve something out of wood, or maybe you won't carve something out of metal or stone to bow down and worship it, but there's a much more common form of idolatry here in the United States, and that's idolatry of the mind. When you fashion a god in your own imagination to suit yourself, a god that is not holy, a god that is not righteous, a god that is not just, a god that will applaud your sin, a god that will ignore your sin. And you might say, well, my God will never send anybody to hell. And I will agree with you. For if you've created a god in your imagination, your God is utterly incapable of sending anybody to hell. But your God is also likewise powerless to save. If you've created a God in your imagination to suit yourself, your God cannot save you. Because your God does not exist outside the realm of your sinful imagination. One of God's commands is that you shall not commit blasphemy. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. In fact, the Word of God says, whoever takes the name of God in vain, He will not leave him unpunished. And blasphemy is taking the name of God and bringing it down low as if it's some filthy curse word. Using His name to express disgust or excitement, or throwing His name around flippantly. And again, God will not be mocked. Those who take His name will face the wrath of God for taking His name in vain, because God is holy, God is righteous, and God is good. One of God's commands is to honor your mother and father. Amen. It doesn't mean whether or not your parents are honorable. It simply says to honor your parents. And how many people are in New Orleans this weekend doing shameful things that they will never admit to their mother or their father? Things that they would never do in front of their parents, they will do here, and thus dishonor their parents. One of God's commands is that you shall not murder. More than 200,000 murders are committed throughout the United States every year, and less than half of those are solved. You are likely walking shoulder to shoulder with a murderer tonight. But my friends, know this, You do not have to drive a knife into someone's chest. You do not have to put a bullet in someone's back. You do not have to hit someone over the head with a bat to commit murder. For the Word of God says whoever hates another person is a murderer. If you've ever been angry without cause, if you've ever harbored bitterness or resentment in your heart, if you've ever hated anybody for any reason, God sees you as a murderer. And no murderer will enter into the kingdom of heaven. One of God's commands is that you shall not commit adultery. Now some of you might think, well, I'm not married, so I can't break that command. Or, I am married and I've never cheated on my spouse. But yet Jesus said, whosoever so much as looks upon another person to lust after them has already committed adultery with that person in their heart. And no adulterer will enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Word of God says that you shall not steal. You shall not take something that does not belong to you. I am. The Word of God says that no drunk will enter into the kingdom of heaven either. That's right. No drunkard will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you can shout amen and affirm what I'm saying, but if you're staggering down the street with a beer in your hand, you're only a hypocrite. You don't know God and God doesn't know you. One of God's commands is that you shall not lie. You will not bear false witness.
I'm Catholic. It's okay.
It doesn't matter, sir. You need to repent and believe, because being Catholic will not get you to heaven. No one goes to heaven because of their religion, my friends. No one goes to heaven because they're Catholic. No one goes to heaven because they're Baptist. No one goes to heaven because they're Presbyterian. No one goes to heaven because they're Lutheran. No one goes to heaven because they go to some hipster non-denominational church. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. My friends, you can go to church every day and twice on Sunday, but that will not make you right with God. You can go to Bubba Gump's for shrimp every day of the week, and you will never become a small crustacean swimming on the bottom of the ocean. You will never become a shrimp by eating shrimp. And you will never become a follower of God by filling a pew on Sunday and living like hell Monday through Saturday. That's hypocrisy. And no hypocrite will enter into the kingdom of God. My friends, God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. And God is good. And God will punish sin. Because He must. And the punishment God has ascribed for sin, whether you like it or not or believe it or not, is utterly irrelevant. It doesn't matter what you believe, my friends. What matters is whether or not what you believe is true. And God is true, though every person be found to be a liar. My friends, if you die today and stand before God, and He finds you clothed only in the filthy rags of your sin,
do Catholics go to heaven?
No one goes to heaven by being religious. That's right, sir. Being Catholic, smoking and drinking a beer will not help you on the day of judgment, sir. Will not help you. My friends, your only hope is salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God and fully man, and without sin. Unlike you and me, my friends, Jesus Christ, God the Son, the sinless Lamb of God, never once violated God's law in thought, word, or deed. He was, He is, and He always will be the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ lived the perfect, sinless life that you and I cannot live. And about 33 years into that earthly existence, my friends, He voluntarily went to the cross. That's right. He voluntarily went to the cross. Yes, it was the Jewish people who screamed for His murder. Yes, it was the Romans who carried out the act.
You guys are stupid, eh?
What's that, sir? No, I'm not stupid, sir. What do you think's going to happen to you when you die?
I'll go into the earth.
You will, sir. You will go into the earth. And then you will stand before God to give an account for your life. No, sir. You're a hater of God. And you're a hater of man. And God sees you as a murderer. Sir, have some strength of your conviction. Don't walk away. Please be careful walking across the street as drunk as you are. I would hate for you to get hit by a car, sir, and perish tonight. My friends, 10 out of 10 people die. We're all going to die someday. It's the ultimate statistic. No one can cheat death. We're all going to die and stand before God. My friends, that should sober you. No matter how drunk you are at this moment, that thought should sober you. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said shortly before He went to the cross, greater love has no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. But Jesus not only laid down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies as well. When Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, thousands of people gathered, shouting, Hosanna in the highest! Blessed be the name of the Lord! They laid out palm branches, they laid out blankets before him, and they worshipped him. And within a few short days, many of those same people were standing before Pontius Pilate and screaming, Crucify him! Crucify him! And my friends, if you deny Jesus Christ at this moment as your Lord and your Savior, then you are no different than the people who stood before Pilate screaming, Crucify him! Crucify him! You trample under your feet the blood of the only one who could save you because you love your sin more than you love God. Well, Jesus Christ shed his innocent blood on that cross. God the Father made him, God the Son who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf so that through him we might receive, we might become the righteousness of God. What God did on that day was a great exchange. He looked upon His Son, His perfect, precious, priceless Son, as if He had lived our filthy, sin-stained lives. And in exchange for those who repent and believe the gospel, God looks upon them as if they had lived His Son's precious and perfect and priceless life. Come to your senses. It is appointed once for a person to die, and after that, the judgment. You will stand before God, and you will be judged for your sin against Him. My friends, if you are relying on your own righteousness, you have no hope. Salvation is not based on the deeds that we have done in righteousness. It is based on God's mercy. It is based on God's grace. And what is mercy and grace? Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. And grace is receiving what you do not deserve. And salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So turn to Christ and live. Turn to Christ and live. He will take your heart of stone and He will give you a heart of flesh. The things you do now in debauchery, the things you do now in licentiousness, the things you do now in your adultery and coveting and blaspheming of God, you will hate those things. You will despise the wicked you once loved. And you will love... What's that, sir? I can't hear you, sir. No, I can't hear you, man. You gotta use your big boy voice, sir. I believe he was just screaming the name of the quarterback for San Francisco. The quarterback from San Francisco will not be able to save that foolish young man. when he dies and stand before God. He will not be yelling, Kaepernick, Kaepernick. He will be screaming for mercy. But unless he has turned from his sin and put his trust in Christ, he will not receive mercy. No, sir, I care too much about your hell-bound soul to shut up. That's right. We are not here because we hate you. We're here because we love you. And we don't want you to perish in your sin. We don't want you to die in your sin. What makes you ready, young man? Hey, Kruger! Kruger! He doesn't even know what shirt he's wearing. Kruger! What makes you ready? You said you're ready. How does Jesus make you ready, sir? Really? What are you drinking tonight? Vodka and Sprite? Did Jesus get you here to drink that?
Yeah.
No, he didn't, young man. You're living a hypocritical life. You don't know Jesus, young man. You just blasphemed him. And you won't be... No, he doesn't, young man. He hates your sin. He hates everything about your sin. The love of Jesus Christ is not capricious. The love of Jesus Christ is not cheap. The love of Jesus Christ isn't like finding some whore for a one-night stand. The love of Jesus Christ is perfect. The love of Jesus Christ is precious. The love of Jesus Christ is priceless. And shame on you for blaspheming the love of God by blaspheming His name while you're walking around in your drunken stupor saying that Jesus loves me. What a fool. What an ungrateful, blasphemous fool. Turn from your sin. And by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And if you do not hear this as a message of love, it is because you love your sin more than you love God. If you do not hear this as a message of love, it is because you love yourself more than you love God. So repent. Turn from your sin. And by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while God has given you time.